Morning. I'm reading from 659. Responsively, please. God's invitation. Come all who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. Together, this will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the invitation, and thank you for your word. We thank you for your messenger, God, and the message you give us each day. And we ask that you would continue to be with us along this journey of life and strengthen us. It will be everything you created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today, more than ever before, people are looking for something that will give them some kind of a pleasure. Today, more than ever before, people have lost their way, and apathy has become a way of life. You talk to students, you talk to adults, you talk to elderly, and they will respond, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, when I went for the first time to Armenia, and I asked them, how are you? Their response was really interesting, to say the least, and was surprising. I would say, how are you? And they would say, nothing. The word nothing will be used, vochinch, which means nothing. And I asked them, why do you say nothing? When I say, how are you? They say, because nothing is happening. So that has become a way of responding to the greeting, how are you? Here we say, how are you? Well, comme ci, comme ça. So and so. And it seems that people have lost the joy of being alive. The world we live in today resembles a world in a winter deep freeze. And I don't know about you, but some of us were here when we had the ice storm, and everything was frozen, and people would not even go out, or they wouldn't go in because it was as cold inside as it was outside. And it seems to me that today's world is almost like that, a picture of an ice storm that has hit a city. No visible life out there. People are shut in their homes waiting for the spring that seems to be so far away. And I'm speaking about spiritual freeze. Today, more than ever before, we need a revival. Now, what is the word revival? It's being used a lot in Christian circles. Revival is to bring back to life, to recover after weakness, to restore. The word revival means renewal of life or interest, a new and deeper interest in religion. The Greek word is zoopoiesi, which means give life, create life. People in general are searching for something, someone, some way to make them come alive, to live again, to be revived, just like someone lost in the desert searching for an oasis. And that picture is always in front of me when I think of people searching and looking to find something, someone, to give them some hope. Spiritual, emotional depression has set in the heart of the populations in general. People in general are searching for something. And it seems that people will take advantage of that, some people, and offer books and workshops how to better your love life, how to better your economic life, how to do this, how to do that. Buy this and you'll be happier. Use this and you'll feel younger. Use this and you will look 20 years younger, and everyone is offering some medication, some theory, some philosophy to make people feel better or look better. Everyone wants to feel better, to feel good, healthy and happy, and yet man-made formulas and theories do not seem to work, or rather often make us feel even worse. In Psalm 85, we hear the cry of the psalmist crying out to God for a revival. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you and grant us your salvation? We may want to be revived and given a new beginning, a new life, to continue our earthly journey. But what kind of a revival do we need today? Or rather, do we really need a revival? I believe that we do need a revival. Now, the problem has been some churches, some believers have misunderstood the word revival. And I've heard people say, well, we have a prayer meeting. We are praying for a revival. Or I've received magazines with the title Revival, and that's wonderful. And then I have read articles saying how you can start a revival. And the word is used so often, and yet very few people have understood that revival does not happen just like that. And God will not revive a dead church unless the people themselves turn to God and ask them to deal with their heart and life. A dead person cannot ask to be revived. And yet the church is almost dead in general because they are so busy in doing all kinds of other things. And yet revival starts right where you are. Someone said, if you want a revival in your church, draw a line in your kitchen floor, on the kitchen floor, and stand right in the middle and say, Lord, start a revival right here. And when that revival starts, then others will look at you and you will see, they will see a living person, a revived person, a person who really now lives for Christ. And does not need the choir, does not need the pastor, does not need all these workshops, does not need all those films and DVDs to feel good that, and to encourage him and strengthen his faith, because he is now connected, plugged into God directly. And the Holy Spirit will be reflected in his life. we need, and I have four points to make this morning. We need a revival that resurrects the believers and the churches. Revival means a return to life, a resurrection. For example, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Now, if Lazarus was not there, there would be no point in talking about Lazarus. But Lazarus was there, dead for 4 days, and his body was decaying. And yet it took a miracle for Lazarus to be revived. The church in general and individuals today are struggling with emotional problems, with spiritual problems, and they don't know who can help them. They'll go from one channel to the other, from one book to the other book, from one preacher to another preacher to see who can give them what is missing. And that is the assurance and the joy of their salvation. And I believe they have missed the point. They have missed the goal, which is Jesus. Revival means a return to life. Churches need revival, new life. They are in a coma or comatose. And you say, well, you're wrong. You are absolutely wrong. Turn on your television and you'll see churches with 15,000, 20,000 members. You go to church and you'll see everyone is lifting hands and shouting and praising God. And you know what? I am really thrilled to see people excited about their faith and excited about their belief in God. And yet, I just hope and pray that when they go home, they feel as excited about their faith as they were feeling in the church when the beautiful choir was singing and everyone was saying, amen, amen, praise the Lord. So that had become, very often it has become like a mantra that if you repeat it enough times, you feel different. A spiritual resurrection that is just like the physical resurrection of someone who is dead. We need a spiritual resurrection, just like Lazarus, who was dead and now he is alive. We need a revival that will wake us up and wake up the believers to pray, love, give, and fellowship together. I mean, this is what a revival is. A revival is when the human being, the human heart, is revived to a point that prayer becomes something that is natural, to love becomes so natural, to give becomes so natural, and fellowshipping together becomes so natural. Today the problem is you have to bribe people to come to church. You have to offer them something that will excite them. And yet, Jesus offered them life. We need a revival that brings new vision. What is your vision? What is our vision as a church? Yes, you say, well, I mean, this church has a lot of vision. Well, good vision, because you are reaching out. I know we're reaching out, but are we doing it because we have to do it or because it's just it comes from the heart? We want to reach out to the lost people. We want to reach with the gospel to those who have not heard. A lady comes to our office at least once or twice a week, a Haitian lady. And she came again the other day and she said, I need now 6 boxes of trucks. My wife said to me, what is she doing with these trucks? Talk to her. And I said, Mrs. Janine, what are you doing with these trucks? She says, I give them out. I said, where? She says, every morning I get up in the morning and I go out distributing trucks until 10 o'clock. And then I come back. And you know what? I got even calls from people who complained that they found some trucks in their garden. And I said, what do you do? You throw them in the garden? She says, no, when the door is locked, I'm not saying whether it's legal or illegal. I'm just saying what her heart says. She makes sure that every household receives a truck. A revival that makes the world around us take notice. A revival that makes the world around us take notice. You say, well, I'm only going to school. Well, I heard a story very recently, as a matter of fact today, about a man who came from a country who was not a Christian country, who was completely different faith. And he went to university. And in the university, he was a roommate. His roommate was a Christian. And after a while, he realized that this Christian man, a young man, had joy. He was happy. He was positive. He was reading a book. And he was praying. And he was so interested that he started asking him questions. And after asking him many questions, he turned to the Lord and prayed to God. And today, he said in his testimony that he is a pastor. He's preaching the gospel in his own country. Well, this is what happens when we are revived. When you are alive, you move. When you are alive, you speak. When you are alive, you see. But when you are dead spiritually, you do nothing. You go to the church, you sit there and you enjoy the music. You go home, continue with your life the way it was, as miserable as it can get. And then that's not being alive. I remember a missionary we had working here once, Shirley Hitley. She went to Korea to visit South Korea, to visit the believers there. And when she came back, we said, Shirley, how is it in Korea? She said, well, let me tell you this. And it's so interesting. We said, what? She said, early in the morning, there are these huge numbers of women. Before they go to the office, they go for a prayer meeting. They pray, and then they go to work. And then later on, others, before they go to work, they go to a prayer meeting and they pray. And you know what happens? They're not preaching the gospel. They just are revived and they have connected to God. And that is making them want to be together and pray together. And that's why the Word of God, I believe, in South Korea is bringing fruit. In China, the same thing. And here in our westernized countries, that we are so proud of our lecturers, of our philosophers, of our writers of tremendous books and the producers of DVDs, seems that people are in a comatose when it comes to their spiritual excitement. What would happen if revival came to our church? I just wonder. What if every one of us was revived and all of a sudden could not be without worshiping God, without sharing God, without skipping church or Bible study because they have a nice movie to watch, or because they've been and they want to go to someone's birthday or a party, there are always reasons why we can neglect our spiritual life and get excited with our physical activities. What do you want to see in the church? What is it? What are you searching for in the church? Some people go to church and based on the phone calls I get, that are most of really, I can say this. Some people would call and say, how big is your church? Do you have a choir? Do you have this? Do you have that? What is your doctrine? Are you A or B or C? And I'm saying these people need to be revived. We need to connect to Christ. And if we connect to Christ, then all we're going to ask is Christ there? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to speak? Are you willing to take the first step to make this happen? Or you want others to do it? You know what? Very often we look at some other church or some other individual and say, well, he's going to extremes. And again, sometimes when we talk, and I've heard this in our circles, when we talk, about someone who always talks about God, always talks about this and the other, we say, well, something has happened to him. Or when people will not accept an invitation for a soccer game or hockey game because they have a Bible study, we say, well, you are overdoing it, you know. A revival brings a new life. Number two, first I said, a revival that resurrects the believers in the church. Number two, a revival that rekindles old fires. Psalm 85 says, revive us again. They must have been alive before. The word again says that at one time they were revived. At one time they were living a life that reflected Christ. But the psalmist now looks around him and he sees apathy and death and says, revive us again. The Christian life is made up of many beginnings, days of dedication and joy. I remember when I accepted the Lord, and I mentioned this before, I was 12 years old and I used to live at least 45 minutes away from my home. It was in the middle of the night because I attended a watch night service. It was almost 12:30 in the morning, but at the church there was this evangelist who preached the gospel. I come from an evangelical family, and yet I had not surrendered my life to him. I was 12 when I stood up and invited Christ in my life. I was full of joy, and I remember as if it was yesterday, and that was a long time ago, running from the church to home and shouting and jumping and doing crazy things because I knew something had taken place in my life. Days of dedication and joy, days of great expectations, days of full commitment. Commitment is something that is so negotiable or so you can bargain with dedication or commitment. People commit their love to their spouses. A man commits to his fiancée or wife to love her forever. That love doesn't last for long. Or a husband does the same thing. People in a church, they all commit their services to God and say, yes, yes, I want to be the chairman of the committee. Yes, I want to be a member of the choir. Yes, I want to be an elder. Yes, I want to be the pastor. And after a while, they just use all kinds of excuses why they can't. But a revived person who is filled with God's presence puts God first. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he says, you were running a good race. You were running a good race. Who caught in on and kept you from obeying the truth? Something happened there. The third point I want to make this morning is a revival. We need a revival that rebuilds broken fellowship. Rebuilds broken fellowship. Our walk with God is individual, but not isolated. We may be the children of God, and I've heard people say, well, I'm a born-again believer. I don't have to go to church. What I do is every Sunday morning, I turn on the television and watch a program, or I pick up my Bible and read a chapter with my family, and that's good. That is wonderful. And yet, there is more to being a believer, a dedicated Christian, than an isolated life. We need fellowship. And the book of Acts, we read Apostle Paul writing, and do not neglect the fellowshipping together. Our walk with God is individual, but not isolated. We need one another. Paul also wrote to Galatians and said, you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all one in Christ Jesus. We need to share, to care, to walk together again. It is very important to reach out to others. Excuse me. Fellowshipping is not to having a good time, although a good fellowshipping time is a very good time. You feel the Spirit, you feel the presence of God, and yet fellowshipping is strengthening each other, helping each other, caring for each other, praying for each other, and putting your hand, your arms around someone who is going to get through, who is going through a difficult period of time, and or give him a hug and say, "I love you." That's what fellowshipping is. Number four, we need a revival that restores Christian joy. There are so many defeated Christians today. I'm going to read a short list and then comment. So many defeated Christians, so many unhappy Christians, so many discouraged Christians, so many backslidden Christians. And if this is not true for you, then you've been blessed, you are blessed. There are so many defeated Christians that have an attitude of, "I can't put up with this. I give up." Even pastors and preachers, when you talk to them as individuals, and I have friends, we have that will get together and talk sometimes, and we share our difficulties, and you will very quickly realize that some of us may be defeated because of the circumstances. So many unhappy Christians. If we are born-again believers, if we are filled with the presence of God, then no matter what happens, we should not lose the joy of our salvation. Yeah, you cannot be happy. You lost your partner, you lost your mother, your father, you have failed your exams, or you've lost your job. You can't just throw a party. And yet, right in those difficulties, you will find the presence of Christ encouraging you. So many Christians are unhappy. So many discouraged Christians, so many backslidden Christians. We need to be restored. We need strength. Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And I was wondering, what is he talking about? The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you have the joy of the Lord, you are strong. You can deal with almost every situation. And if God does not change your situation, He will help you deal with that situation. We would be closer to the revival we desire if we would admit our failures, humbly hang our heads and ask forgiveness, and rededicate our lives to Him and His service. If we want to avoid complete deadness, we must take dramatic measures immediately. Humility and a new reality might be the starting place for God's greatest blessings on us yet. Humility. To admit that, yes, we have failed in loving our wife enough, failing to love our husband enough, failing to be a good example to our children, failing to be a good example at work, at school, and not showing the joy of our salvation. What is the sense going to church? Why would we be Christians? Why would we give up our time, free time, to go to church and be very active, if that does not bring us joy and assurance that we have been connected with God and God, our Lord, is there. Being pleased, pleasing God is our aim. Once again, revival starts with me as a pastor. Revival starts with you as a Christian. Revival starts with our church first, if we want to reach out to others and bring the gospel. May God help us feel His presence and respond to Him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for loving us. Your spirit is active. Your spirit, Lord, wants us to find and enjoy the full joy of being saved. The assurance of knowing that God loves each one of us and will protect us and guide us and always, always be there for us to be strengthened and encouraged. No matter what we're going through, Lord, you are always there to help us and to help us discern and know what is coming from you and what is from the devil. Lord, I pray for each one of us this morning. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us and revive us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.